Welcome to the Covenant Life Church podcast. We hope this message allows you to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference.
I want to take just a minute because, I can't not say anything. If you don't know, if for some reason you don't know, Iran attacked Israel for the first time. Like directly, not through their proxies, but directly. And just a couple of things I want to mention to you. My message isn't on Israel, but I just feel like there's a few things that I need to mention to you this morning. Number one is you need to be careful who you listen to. Okay? It's important. Because if you're not careful who you listen to, then you can find yourself on the wrong side, if you will, of history. You can find yourself in a place where you're actually fighting against God instead of walking in the will of God and the plan of God. And the reason I say that is because there is so much out there that is adversity against the nation of Israel. And you may say, well, Pastor Robert, what's so special about the nation of Israel? You know, we read about them in the Bible, and, you know, they say they're God's people, and, you know, and even within the church, there's people that are pulling back from their, if you will, support. Listen, my support for Israel doesn't mean that I necessarily condone everything Israel does. That's not it. Listen, God loves you and supports you, but He doesn't condone everything you do, right? So what we have to be careful is that we don't look at a spiritual situation and try to formulate an opinion based on a carnal mindset. And what I mean by that is that the way I see things is simply based upon information. And that there's no work and operation of understanding or revelation by the Spirit. And it's important. If you don't have a full understanding, then don't open your mouth. You know, I'm not saying that in an ugly way. Listen, I'm just pastoring you for a minute. Don't say anything. You know what I'm saying? If you don't have a revelation, you don't have understanding, I challenge you, I encourage you. There are so many good voices out there, right, that can bring some wisdom and revelation into it. But you and I have to be careful. The Bible says that there will be an accountability for every idle word. And your words have life or death. Amen. And I don't want to find myself in that situation where I'm misspeaking because I don't fully understand the situation that's going on. Amen. So, the people of Israel, you can go back to Genesis, go back to the Abrahamic covenant. And God made a covenant with Abraham. And He told Abraham, He said, hey, Abraham, I want you to get away from your family. I want you to go to a place that I'm going to show you, right? But that wasn't all that He did. That wasn't all that He said. I want to read to you because I want you to see from the Word. God promised Abraham a son, and He promised that through his son, through his offspring, that He would make Abraham a great nation and that all nations of the earth would be blessed, okay? And so there's a point to this. And so in Genesis 17, verse 19, it says, then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. So up until this point, God had already made a promise to Abraham. And Abraham had not, his wife, Sarah, had not borne him a son, right? But he did have a son, Ishmael, right, through the maidservant. But God said, he's not the one that I'm making this covenant with. I'm going to give you a son, and through your son, Isaac, I'm going to give you an offspring. And he said so much so that if you can count the stars and you can count the sand, right? He said you'd be able to number your offspring. And so God, through Abraham, he made a covenant with Abraham and Abraham's offspring. And he says, no, Sarah shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. Now listen to what he says. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. Right? And then he goes on and he talks about Ishmael, that he would bless Ishmael anyway. Right? So when you look at the nation of Israel, when you look at the Jewish people, okay, they have a covenant with God through Abraham that is an everlasting covenant. And God has made promises to them that have yet still to be fulfilled. And you can write it down that God is going to keep his word. He is going to fulfill his promise to his people. Now listen, we're his people. But if you're not Jewish, you are a Gentile. And you've been, the Bible says, grafted in. You've been accepted in, right? But we didn't originally have an inheritance with God. We didn't have a covenant. And so you and I have to be careful that we don't wade into something that we may not fully understand the full ramification of it. And you may look at it just from a natural perspective and based upon information. Now listen, the Bible says Jesus said said that the devil was the father of lies. He said there's no truth in him. The Bible says that he's the God of this world. Now, Jesus has defeated him, but he still has license to operate within this world system until he has finally dealt with, okay? So this world system, if you find yourself trying to derive where you stand and derive your understanding from this world system, right? Then you're going to find yourself standing on a bed of lies instead of standing on the truth. So as believers, our job is not just to go by what we see and perceive and hear naturally, but we need to have an understanding of the Word, and we need to have the Spirit of God working in us, which He is, to lead and guide us and to let us know when something is right or when something is wrong. And so, with everything that's going on, you say, well, Pastor Rob, what do I do? Well, number one is that you pray. Right? Don't just pray whatever. Right? Just pray for the nation of Israel. Pray for their protection. Now listen, the awesome thing is Iran sent drones and missiles over, but one of the fastest growing churches in the world is in Iran. So don't have an attitude against the people. God is reaching the people. Listen, all through the Middle East, the church is growing. People are coming to the Lord. Jesus is appearing to people. There's all kinds of stories of what's happening. So pray for the people. Listen, the devil can't go and push the buttons. He has to have somebody to work through. Amen. He has to have somebody to work through. But the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Now, I'm not talking about as a nation. I'm not talking about as a citizen. I'm talking to you as a believer. Amen. And so I want to encourage you this morning, number one, don't be moved. You know, well, is this the, you know, Ezekiel 38? You know, 39 war? I don't know yet. There's still more things that would need to develop. I don't know for sure. Right? But I'm going to share a word with you today that there are some things I can know and some things I can walk in as a believer, because my mandate, my mission, our mission as the body of Christ, our mission as a church has not changed. Amen. And what'll happen is we'll get so caught up in the argument that we will stop being who we're called to be and being the light to the world and the salt of the earth. And we will sidestep our mission because we take on something that's not our responsibility other than a place of prayer and standing in the realm of prayer in the Spirit and standing and believing and declaring what the Word says. Amen. So I just couldn't let it pass without speaking about it today. I do have a message. It's in your notes. Amen. And I am going to minister it because I do believe it's also relevant. But I want to encourage you. Amen. Don't find yourself in that place because that's not going to bode well for you. Amen. Like I said, if you don't know what to say, then don't say anything. Just say, Lord, give me wisdom, give me instruction, lead me to know what I ought to do. Amen? All right. Well, hopefully that helps somebody today. Amen. Hallelujah. So today, just segueing from that, I want to minister to you a word today about walking in victory. Amen. About walking in victory. Because you as a believer have been given a victory. You've been given a victory. And we're not to live our life and be moved by the things that are going on in this world. Jesus said, you're going to have tribulation in this world. It's going to happen. You're going to have pressure. You're going to have unrest. You're going to have persecution. You're going to have things come against your life. You're going to have those challenges. You're going to have tribulation in this world. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Why do so many nations hate the nation of Israel? It's because they hate Jesus. Jesus wrote it. He told us about it. He warned us of it. But you as a believer have been grafted in. You've been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. And you and I have been given a victory. You know, I grew up playing sports. And I've never walked onto a field. I've never walked onto a court. I've never walked onto a track and said, you know what? I hope I lose. Of course, nobody was betting on me. So, you know, there wasn't any throwing anything. But I've never had that mentality that I go and I want to, you know what I'm saying? I don't want the definition of my life to be loser. Like, does anybody in here want that to be your life mantra that I'm a loser? No, we don't want to do that. We want to be winners. We want to be victorious. We want to be those that we overcome and we have victory. There's a reason why some of the greatest movies out there are about superheroes. Because people want to win. They want to have a victory. It's amazing to go back and look throughout history when America even faced challenges and heroes would rise up in the sports arena. And people would, it would breathe life and breathe something in them because they had something to hope for, or something to root for. Listen, you are not without hope today. You are not without hope. You are not without a place with God and a place to be able to stand with Him. You've been given a victory in your life. 1 John chapter 5, 1 through 5, he says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Isn't that good news? That if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10, you are born of God, born again. It says, and everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. In other words, everybody who loves God or loves the Father also loves his Son. That's what he's saying. He says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Now listen, verse 4. It says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. It's not a question, it's not a maybe, it's not a might, it is a definitive statement. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Well, how do we know who's born of God? The person that believes that Jesus is the Christ. Now, I've got a point to this, but I want to lay this foundation. It says, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. If you and I in our life and our walk with Jesus, if we're not careful, we will set Jesus aside and we will go to work to be the best Christian we can be. We'll go to work to overcome. We'll go to work. All the things that the Word says we'll be, we can set Jesus aside and we can do it in our own strength and own ability and own wisdom and try to be the best Christian we can be. That's called religion. And so my heart today is to make sure that you and I are pointed to Jesus. That our focus is on Jesus. My focus isn't on being the best Christian there ever was. My focus is on Jesus. My focus is on knowing Jesus. My focus is believing in Jesus. I want to know where my faith is, and I believe today will help bring some ease into your life, if you will. Not make it easy, but maybe easier. So John 16:33, it says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me, now listen to what he says in the language, in me you may have peace. We said it earlier. That peace is available to you. That peace right now is available to you. No matter what's going on, the Bible says 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it's not going to come near you. There's a peace that we have, but it is in him. Right? A peace that is in him. He says, you may have peace in the world. Now listen to the contrast. You will have tribulation, but turn to your neighbor and say, but. Say it like, but. There we go. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Does it say be a little less depressed? You know what I'm saying? Does it say, you know, just feel a little better? No, it says be of good cheer. Right? He says, because I, right? Who's the I? Jesus, have overcome the world. Now that's good news for you and I, because it's not my job to go out and overcome the world. If I'll walk in him, then I walk in the overcoming of the world. Do you see what I'm saying? And so many times we're trying to overcome things on our own because we're not walking in him. And our focus should be walking in him. My focus is being in Christ. My focus is that he's the one that's done the heavy lifting. And I get to walk in, if you will, the victory of it. It doesn't mean I don't have any responsibility, but I'm trying to show you this. Matthew 28:18, you know it. It says, Jesus says he spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Now this is after Jesus was beaten. This is after he was crucified. This is after he was put in the grave, after he was resurrected. One of the last things that he came and he said to the disciples, he said, listen, guys, all authority now is in my control. It's in my hands, right? All authority. So in this world, the outcome of this world is still going to shape up to the Word of God and what God says, right? And when Jesus is talking about all authority, his all authority does not include your choices. He didn't make that person go murder somebody. He didn't make that choice for them. Come on now. Listen, you and I, if we're not careful, we just have this attitude that whatever happens must be God. No, listen, I have a flesh. And my flesh can go contrary to the Lord. It can go contrary to what he desires. Amen? And so the authority that he has is he does have an authority, but it's an authority that we walk in when we're in him. See, apart from Jesus, you have no authority. Apart from him, apart from his word, apart from his name, apart from the Spirit, you don't have any authority except you have your own choices. But there's an authority that you can have in Christ, right? That when you walk in that authority, you establish the victory that he already paid for. Are you following me? Amen. Colossians 2:15 says he's disarmed principalities and powers. He's made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Listen, he defeated the enemy. He defeated the authority of the enemy, listen to me, in your life. So now any authority that the devil uses, any authority he operates in has to come through men, and it have to come through men that have submitted to him. And so in your life, the only authority that the enemy could have is when you submit something to him. And you say, I'm not going to obey what the word says. I'm not going to walk, if you will, in the fullness of who I am in Christ. And so this area, you know, I'm going to still allow the enemy to have a say. And his authority isn't direct. His authority will always be manipulated. Because he really doesn't have any authority. All he has is the illusion of authority, which he tries to manipulate in your life and my life to get us to do what he wants. Jesus has authority. That's why when you cast out a devil, the devil has to go. It doesn't have a choice. And you're going to find out all the promises of God that are yes and amen. When we walk in revelation in the authority of who I am in Christ, then those yes and amens become a reality. Not because I'm something, but because I'm in Christ. Because I find myself living this life in him. And so our victory over this world is our faith in Christ. It's not just that you have such great faith to go and do something. The Bible says a mustard seed faith will move a mountain. It's not because you're just this giant of faith. Listen, Jesus talked about great faith and he talked about little faith. And if you go and read the parables of when he talked about little faith, he talked about little faith because the disciples were in the boat supposed to be going to the other side because Jesus said, we're going to the other side. And they come to him and say, Jesus, what are we going to do? We're drowning. Our boat, a storm had come up. For those of you who don't know the story, a storm had come up. Water's coming into the boat. The disciples are freaking out. Jesus is asleep. And they go to Jesus and say, don't you care? And Jesus gets up and he rebukes the wind and the waves. And then he gets on to them for having little faith. Well, the little faith wasn't because they didn't get up and rebuke the wind and the waves. They didn't even know that was possible. The little faith was because they didn't know who was in their boat. You see, when you try to focus on overcoming the circumstance instead of focusing on who's in your boat, then you're going to come up short. It's going to be a work of the flesh and a struggle instead of you and I just resting in who we are in Christ and us exercising the authority that I have in Christ because I'm born of God now. So we have to understand that and walk in that revelation in our life. Our victory comes to that. Listen, Romans 8:37, it says, yet in all these things, you can go back up and read all the things, but sake of time, it says, we are more than conquerors. Now, what does it say? Through him who loved us. We're more than conquerors through him. I'm not more than a conqueror on my own. I'm not more than a conqueror because I wear the Christian t-shirt. I'm not more than a conqueror because I have a fish on my car. I'm not more than a conqueror because I'm in church every Sunday. I'm more than a conqueror because I'm in Christ. I'm in him. Amen. 1 John 4:4, he says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Those in the world. It says, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You've heard that scripture. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. As a believer, the Spirit of God is in you. God himself is in you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now listen, Galatians 2:20, this is the Apostle Paul, and he says, listen, I have been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life, now listen to what he's saying, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what? Faith in who? The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, listen, I've been crucified with Christ. That old man is dead. Right? And he says, now this new life, listen to me, when you got saved, you took on a different life. We just celebrated Easter. We celebrated the resurrection. We celebrated resurrection life. Well, that's part of our everyday life now. I've got a new life that I live, but this new life is a life that is lived because of my faith in Jesus. That Jesus is my Lord, Jesus is my Savior, Jesus the returning King, that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. See, my faith is in Him. Jesus is the healer. Listen, my job is not to go get healed. My job is to put my faith in the one who already paid for it. And then I just receive it. And what I'm saying is so many times I've watched this in people's lives. Listen, and let me just say this. I have dealt with things my whole life. I still got a tube in one of my ears. Like it's visible from space, like it's massive. It's the fourth or fifth one that's been put there, okay, since I was a little kid. I've got a scar where they filleted my ear open to do surgery. Like, I just want you to know that I'm not up here saying this in a matter-of-fact way, right? We all deal with stuff, but I do want to simplify it in a way that you understand that you all qualify. How do you qualify for healing? Do you have symptoms? That makes you a qualified individual for healing. You know what I'm saying? You're not qualified because you're in church today. You're qualified because the grace of God has qualified you. The blood of Jesus has qualified you. The stripes on his back have qualified you. Now you have to walk in it, and there's some things you need to do in the sense of you, but your faith is in the healer. And so many times we're saying, listen, even the woman with the issue of blood that said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, where her faith wasn't in herself. Her faith wasn't in her faith. I bet she didn't even know that she was operating in faith. She just knew this guy heals, and if I can just position myself in a place to touch, then I'm getting healed. Sometimes we're so focused on our own faith, like our own self, right? Instead of putting our eyes on the one that's the healer. Now listen, you and I are responsible to position ourselves, right? Jesus turned around and told the lady, your faith has made you whole. I'm not taking away from her faith, but her faith was in him. Her faith wasn't in the church service. Now, I'm not saying you can't have an expectation. You ought to come with an expectation. But did you come here this morning to meet Jesus? Where was your faith coming in today? Did you expect to encounter Jesus this morning? Or did you just come to church? It's a tough question, isn't it? You see, this gathering, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name. What did he say? There I am. There I am. There I am in the midst of them. Church isn't about religion. Church isn't about money. Church isn't about buildings. All of the buildings, the money systems, all that's necessary for the church to function, but that's not the goal of it. The prize, the goal is Jesus. And that we're all his people gathering together in his name, in his presence, to worship the King. And then in that process, be able to minister to one another, encourage one another, hear the word. I mean, there's a reason for it. But do you understand what I'm saying? We have to, if you will, make sure that we are getting back to why we even gather together. Our faith has got to be in Jesus. It shouldn't be, well, if pastor preaches a good word, then, you know, maybe I'll, amen. I mean, no pressure, but Pastor Rick, you know. Well, Pastor, you could have done a little better. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I understand we want to get better and better, but Paul said it's not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in power and demonstration of the Spirit. I'm not interested in whether you think it's great or not great. Please don't be offended by that, but I don't live my life that way. If I live my life that way, then I would be highly depressed. And you would dictate my joy, and you would dictate whether I felt like I obeyed God or not. Now, do you want that responsibility? Amen. Hallelujah. Faith receives and obeys. It doesn't earn and qualify. Faith has to receive. And in order to receive, I have to be in position. That's not earning anything. That's just called obedience. Your obedience is not earning God's love. Your obedience positions you to receive everything that was provided for you. Some people, you know, we don't think about whether we're obeying God or not. Well, we need to. Why? Not because God's going to be mad at me. He loves you. He sent His Son. That's already been established. But what I do is I miss out on what's been provided because I have to be willing to receive it. I have to be willing to do that. My faith in Christ is what allows me to receive all that He's provided for me. My faith in Him, my believing Him. He's the healer. He's the provider. He's the deliverer. He's my peace. He's my joy. He's my strength, right? He's my wisdom. He's the King of Kings. He's my protector. Now, I realize all of that we walk in by the Holy Spirit, but Jesus is the one who paid for all of that. And so that's what I'm doing is I'm putting my faith in Christ. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, many of you know this passage, but it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Listen, laying aside weight and sin is not works. It's obedience. Let's decipher that. Works is something you do for God. Obedience is something you do in response to God. You listen. It says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How? Looking unto Jesus. Now listen to what it says. The author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, we have a race to run, but we're supposed to run that race looking to Jesus. I'm not supposed to be looking at what everybody else is doing. When you stand before Jesus, you're not standing before Him with everybody else. If you want to know how that went, go talk to the 10 spies that came back with a negative report that influenced. You know what I'm saying? Look at it, when they crucified Jesus, everybody else was cheering for Barabbas. This isn't about what everybody else is doing. All this matters is that what are you? Where's your faith? Who are you trusting in? That's what matters is that I'm putting my faith in Christ. You've got, in the world, you've got fads that take place. We are watching movements, but they're not true movements. They're fads. And many are very ungodly. And people are engaging in things because it's the thing to do, because it's popular, because everybody else is doing it. You know, it's that saying that your parents used to tell you, you know, if your friend go and jump off the bridge, are you going to jump off? Or if they tell you to jump off, are you going to, you know what I'm saying, that whole thing. Well, if you're running with that crowd and they all jump off, you're most likely going to be right behind them. I want to be running with Jesus. And I want to run with others that run with Jesus. I'm not saying that we should live our lives alone, but we need to pay attention to that. John 14:1, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Now listen to what Jesus is saying. He says, believe also in me. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Jesus said, believe in me. Right? John 14:27. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Listen, he is our peace. He doesn't just bestow peace, he is peace. And so if I abide in Christ, I abide in peace. He is healing. So if I abide in Christ, I abide in healing. He is our protection. The list goes on. So he is. He doesn't just do, he is. And so my job is to abide in him. That's the answer to our life is I'm abiding in Christ. Well, how do I do that? I'm abiding in his word. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, he said, ask whatever you want and it'll be done for you. Think about that promise. I'm abiding in his word. This morning you're abiding in his word. But what about tomorrow? And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Where are you abiding? We abide, the Bible says over in Psalms, to abide in what? The secret place of the Most High. It says to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Listen, our goal is I want to be right up with him. And I want to be one with him. That's what he prayed for. And the more that I'll focus on him, right? And his word, because his word is him, and he is his word, the more that I abide in that, come on now, then the precious promises that Pastor Kevin mentioned become a normal part of my life because I'm abiding in the promise maker and the promise fulfiller and the promise giver. You know what I'm saying? So as I'm abiding in him, I don't have to go make the promises come to pass. I just abide in him. And so if I do that, it positions me, listen, for all that he is. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, it says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. It says, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to get a perishable crown, but we do it for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body, bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should have become disqualified. Listen, I want you to understand that you're not going to abide in Christ and fulfill what he has for you by just going and sitting on your couch, eating Cheetos, and watching TV. It's not a works life, but it is an obedience life. And I do have to put my hand to something. But I'm putting my hand to something because of what he's already done. I'm not putting my hand to something to get him to do something. I'm walking out what he's already stated, what he's already written in my life. The Bible says all the days of my life, that's what he said to David, all the days of my life are written out before I took my first breath. Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans of good and not evil, plans to give you a hope, a future, an expected end. He knows what he has for you. The Bible says we are his workmanship recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that what? That we might do those good works, that we might do, not talk about, do those what? Good works that he already prepared. He's already made them ready. He's already made this life ready for you to just walk it out. Well, how do you do that? By my faith in him. Because as I believe and put my faith in him, then I will be obedient. When he asks me to do something or position yourself or, amen? But I've got a race. You've got a race. We've got things to do. And then the last one here, I'm going to wrap up, is that we need to do this, right? But we do it by leaning into grace. 1 Corinthians 15:9-10, it says, "For I am the least of all the apostles," well, let's see, Apostle Paul, "who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." But listen to what he says, "By the grace of God I am what I am." Right? So the grace of God is producing in him identity. Right? I am who I am. "And his grace towards me was not in vain." So it was not without purpose or without reason or without effect. "But I labored." That word "labored" means work. It doesn't mean just talk about it. It means I worked. Paul said, "I labored more abundantly than" who? "Than all of them." I worked. I labored, right? "Yet not I," this is the good part, "but the grace of God which was with me." You see, when you walk in who you are in Christ, you get to walk in grace. When you walk in your calling, which is in Christ, you walk in grace. It's when we get out of these arenas and we begin to do it on our own, in our own wisdom, our own ability, we try to kick down our own doors, we try to go and drum up our own stuff, right? I'm not talking about being obedience, I'm talking about trying to be something for God instead of knowing who you are in God. And then just walking it out. As I've said before, if you take an apple tree and you plant it, it doesn't have a difficulty producing apples unless the soil is bad or something like that. But an apple tree produces apples. It doesn't produce oranges. Why? Because an apple tree has its identity embedded in it. And as you live in Christ, you grow in your identity, but it's in you. It's not just you in Christ, it's Christ in you, because the Holy Spirit is in you and with you. So that identity is constantly being shaped and formed. Not that it's not already there, it's becoming revelation and you becoming more aware of who you actually are in Christ, which allows you to walk in a greater grace in what he's called you to do. But it's not you doing all the work, it's actually grace working in and through you, which allows you to do things you never thought that you would ever be able to do. Romans 5:2, it says, "Through whom," talking about Jesus, "also we have access by faith into" what? "This grace in which we stand." So that grace in my life I'm receiving by faith, I have access to by faith. I'm not earning it, I'm just positioning. I'm believing for it. And I'm believing in the grace giver. So many times we rely on our talents, we rely on our abilities. And listen, God will anoint your talent and ability for the sake of the people. But don't ever mistake that as you walking in the fullness of who you are. God will move in your life simply because he wants to touch that person. That's why you've got pastors that can be having an affair, but yet they get on the platform and can still preach a good message. Worship leaders, not ours. Amen. Just want to make that clear. If I don't show up next week, you know what happened. Just kidding. But do you understand what I'm saying? That can be in any arena. My calling as a pastor is in Christ. It's not separate from it. Anyway, Ephesians 2:8-10, I'm wrapping up. Ephesians 2:8-10, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And this is what I just quoted to you. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus," what? "For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Amen. Listen, the burden isn't on you to try and be a good Christian. Now, the Bible says we're supposed to put off the old man. But the way you put off the old man is by putting on the new man. So that's me uniting myself with who Jesus says I am. And the more I do that, the more the other things shed out of my life, because I actually like this man much better than that man. But I have to put on who I am in Christ. I have to walk this life out. The Bible says to work out your salvation in fear and trembling. There are things that I should do as a believer, not because I'm trying to get more from God, but because I'm simply trying to be who He already says that I am. And that needs to work itself in my life. It has to work itself out. And there's a grace in your life to be able to do that. And then you have the grace of your calling. You have the grace of what God's gifted you to do. It's a gift of grace. It's a measure of grace in your life to do what you're called to do. There is an operation of that. That's why Paul said to Peter, but be strong in the grace. I can grow in grace. I can grow. I'm not growing in that I'm getting more grace from God. I'm growing is that the revelation of that is coming more evident in my life. Amen. And that grace just gets stronger and stronger and stronger as you walk it out, because you're able to apply or walk in, because there's greater revelation. And through greater revelation, there's greater obedience, right? There's greater opportunity to be united together with Him. That's a lifelong pursuit. As Paul said, I want to know Christ. That's a lifelong pursuit. You're never going to reach the pinnacle of that. Not in this body, not in this age. He's too big for that. Amen. But I want you to know, and all of this is possible because of His love for you. Oh my goodness. How much He loves you. How much He loves you. And He's not loving you today because you came to church. He loves that you came to church, but He's not loving you today because of that. See, He's constantly pulling us in to bring revelation of who we are through His Word, by the Holy Spirit, right? So that we can become more and more acquainted with who He is, which is now who I'm becoming. My goal in this life is not to be a great preacher. My goal in this life is to be like Jesus. That's my aim. My goal isn't even to be successful. Used to be. I used to work hard, do everything I needed to do for God to be successful. That's not my goal anymore. My goal is to be in Christ and to be obedient. Because success is my obedience to Him, not what I see that I think I've produced in this world. Amen. I tell people all the time, and I believe this about myself, let's just let eternity weigh it all out. Amen. Let's just let eternity. Because you can have a church of 20,000 and think you're something. But then there's a church that's 100,000, and then there's a church that's 600,000. So who's better? Well, nobody. What's going to matter is who was obedient. Amen. That's a whole nother. I don't want to segue into another message. Amen. Hallelujah. Bow your heads with me. Praise God.
We are so excited that you joined us today. For more information, go to myclc.church. Have a great day.